but the treasure seemed too neatly stacked, and there were lamps and torches lighting the room. Looking at the dragon, Alex felt great sorrow fill his heart, but he didn't know why. The dragon didn't speak, but it motioned with its head as if it wanted Alex to come and look at something. As he started forward, his vision shifted, and suddenly Alex was looking through the eyes of the dragon, which were focused on an old iron box. The lid of the box slowly opened. Alex wasn't sure what he was looking at. There were two egg-shaped stones in the box, but to call them stones was unfair. They glowed like pearls in sunlight, but they were more gray and brown and larger than any pearls Alex had ever seen. His vision shifted again, and Alex found himself in another room. The light here was dimmer, coming only from low-burning torches. Goblins stood in a group in front of what looked like a stone throne, on which sat a man with a staff. The name Jabez came into Alex's mind, and a mix of fear and hate filled his heart. A man walked to Jabez's side, leaning toward him and whispering something that Alex could not hear. Jabez seemed pleased by whatever was said, and, getting to his feet, he lifted his staff and said, "Let it begin." Alex was suddenly outside, wind and rain hitting his face. Armies of goblins and men stood before him, and as horns sounded behind him, they began to cheer. The war they had long been waiting for was beginning, and they were happy in the evil they would bring. A massive figure nearby suddenly spread its wings, and Alex recognized it and the others like it as gargoyles that took to the skies and flew over the armies. The snippets he was seeing began to shift more quickly, and many were harder to see or understand. A ship on a distant sea, an ancient-looking city in the mountains, the drawbridge of a castle, a face he did not recognize, Wayland's face, pale and streaked with blood, a white light reflecting from the sharp edge of an axe. Alex sensed that the vision was moving into the future, a future that may or may not be. The future was never certain, and the visions were less clear the further away from the present they were. Finally, Alex was left in a gray darkness, stunned and confused by the dozens and dozens of images he had only partly seen. Out of the darkness, a single face appeared. Salinor, the great and ancient dragon, was there, but Alex could only see his head. The dragon looked at Alex for a long time, not speaking or giving any sign that he even acknowledged Alex was there. Finally, after what felt like days of silence, the dragon spoke, but his words were no more than a whisper.
"Of course there is a way. With magic, there is always a way."
Alex woke with a start. The sun was rising in the east and shining into the cave. Alex took a few minutes to organize his thoughts and clear his mind. He had seen a great many things in the night, and now he had to sort through them and decide which were most important to his current adventure. He got up, stretched, and made his way out of the cave. As he looked down the hill in the morning light, the words he had read in the magic book in the graveyard came to his mind once more. "Darlok est miser," he said softly. He still had no idea exactly what it meant, and nothing he had seen in his vision seemed related to those words. He wondered why they had come back to him now, and what they could possibly have to do with the story of a nameless dragon. He scratched his cheek, ran his hand through his hair, and then went down the path to where Lupo was waiting for him.
"Did it work?
Lupo asked as soon as Alex came into view. Will you be coming with me to visit the Oracle when we travel south again? Or should I not ask? You should not ask, Alex answered with a smile. Though I do have more answers today than I had yesterday. As for the Oracle, only time will tell. Lupo returned Alex's smile, but did not question him about what he had seen. He seemed happy enough to know that Alex had found some answers, even if he had no idea what Alex's true questions had been. Lupo still dreamed of visiting the Oracle and becoming an adventurer, and even though Alex wanted to say something about his dreams, he did not. Waylon had made him promise not to reveal anything about himself, and even though he hated keeping secrets from his friend, Alex kept his word. They rejoined the caravan just before it got underway. Waylon gave Alex a quick look, asking without words if he had learned anything, and Alex nodded. It was troublesome to have to wait before sharing what he had learned with Waylon, but the time gave Alex a chance to think about things and get them clear in his own mind. Jabez is about to start his war, Alex said when he and Waylon were finally alone. He's built a vast army, and he's ready to set them loose on Westland.
You know this?
Waylon asked. Yes, it was part of the dreams I had, Alex answered.
That will make things difficult for us, and prevent any help from Midland reaching Westland for some time. I'm sure that is why Jabez is starting now, hoping to control all of Westland before anyone can interfere.
I don't understand. Why would help from Midland not be able to reach Westland?
It's the wrong time of year. In the winter months, strong cold winds blow mainly from the west to the east. Most ships that sail between Midland and Westland are not as well equipped for such winds. Most are smaller ships, and not made for heavy weather. Even the larger ships would find it difficult to sail to Westland before spring.
Then how are you planning to get us there?
We'll manage one way or another. Now, what else did you see? Anything at all might help us.
I don't know if any of it will help, but I did see a lot, Alex answered, and then told Waylon all about his dream. Waylon sat in silence for a long time after Alex finished talking. There was much to think about, and many questions that Alex didn't know the answers to. When Waylon finally spoke, his questions were not what Alex expected.
The stones you saw in the iron chest, did you get any feeling that they were magical?
Waylon asked. No, I don't think so, Alex answered.
You say they were like pearls, but more gray and brown,
Waylon went on.
Was there perhaps a hint of green? Just a hint of green, like pale jade?
Alex thought for a moment, trying to recall in his mind exactly what the stones had looked like. He had no idea why Waylon was so interested, but he realized the stones must be important if they had been in his dreams and Waylon was asking about them. Yes, Alex said after a pause. There was just a hint of green in them, now that I think about it. Waylon frowned.
And you say you saw two of them in the iron box?
He asked softly. Yes, there were two. What are they? Alex asked, confused.
Do you know what Orion stones are?
Waylon finally asked. No, I've never heard of them before.
I'm not surprised. For many years I've believed, or at least hoped, that they were all destroyed. It appears that they were not.
What are Orion stones? Why do they concern you so much?
Orion stones are ancient weapons used by magical people. They were created and used by evil people and their servants.
What do they do? Waylon rubbed his forehead.
Let me see how best to explain. Do you remember what I told you about magic? How it can be thought of as a bowl collecting raindrops?
and every time I use magic, it's like pouring some of the gathered water out of the bowl, Alex said.
Yes, exactly, Waylon said, nodding. Well, Orion stones are like magical sponges, or perhaps leeches would be a better way to describe them. When you use magic against someone who is carrying one of the stone absorbs your magic until your bowl is left dry.
But that's not possible, Alex said, shaken by the idea.
Oh, it is, Waylon said. What's more, after your magic is gone and you are dead, the holder of the stone can break it and steal your power for himself.
What if your magic is gone but you aren't dead? Alex asked, thinking over Waylon's words.
Then, if you can break the stone, I believe the magic would return to the rightful owner.
I don't know. I might believe the stones could drain someone's power, but I don't think you could really give that power to someone else. I don't think it would work.
I hope you are right. Personally, I think it probably refreshes the stone holder's own power, refills their magical bowl, as it were.
Yes, I think that is more likely.
Well, let's make sure we don't find out what will happen if the stones are used against us. Whether they will or will not steal a person's magic, I don't think either of us wants to find out firsthand how they work.
At least we know Jabez has these stones.
Yes, and if we get the chance, we should take them away from him.
You mean if I get the chance? So after I sneak into the castle and find the Axe of Sundering, then I should also steal these stones? Alex said, half smiling.
Well, if the opportunity comes up, Waylon said, returning the smile. And if you do get the chance to take them, you should keep one for yourself. It would only be fitting if Jabez's own weapon was used against him.
What if Jabez is carrying the stones when we turn up? Alex asked.
If that happens, Waylon said, then I think the both of us will be in a great deal of trouble.
Well, as long as we know, Alex said.
Chapter 11. Fear in the Dark. Now that Alex and Waylon knew Jabez was starting his war, the caravan seemed to move at a snail's pace. It was as if extra hours had been added to the daytime, and the nights were filled with waiting and restless sleep. It felt to Alex like the caravan hardly moved at all, even though he knew that the wagons were moving at the same speed they always had. Everything seemed dull and gray. Alex knew that a great many things were in motion, and that the fate of Jaro hung in the balance. None of that had any effect on the caravan. The days went on, the routines remained the same, the towns and cities they visited looked like towns and cities they had already seen. 2 weeks after Alex's visit to the Cave of Dreams, something changed, though Alex was slow to notice it. The caravan was settling in for the night, circling the wagons, lighting watch fires, and preparing the evening meal. Alex felt tired after a long day of travel, and then a shiver of fear ran down his back. Sitting up straight, Alex looked around slowly. He looked at the caravan that he knew so well, and then at the green valley where they were spending the night. Nothing looked out of place. Nothing looked threatening or dangerous in any way. He tried to focus his mind on what might have caused him to shiver on this warm evening. He could find nothing, no cause, and for some reason, that scared him more than the strange moment of fear had. For a moment, Alex wasn't sure what to do. Something was wrong, he was sure of it, but he had no idea what it was. He considered using his magic for the first time in a long time. Just a little magic to search the land around the caravan for danger. Just a little magic that no one would ever notice. He was about to turn his magic loose when Waylon suddenly appeared. The look on the old wizard's face was enough to stop Alex cold.
"Do nothing,"
Waylon said quietly as he walked up to Alex.
"Whatever you're thinking, no matter how right it might seem, do nothing."
"You felt it as well, then,"
Alex said, matching Waylon's quiet tone.
"Oh, yes, I felt it,"
Waylon said.
"I've been around long enough to know it for what it is as well. We'll talk about this after the evening meal."
Waylon walked away, leaving Alex with more questions than he'd had before. He watched his friend go, wanting more than anything to find out what Waylon knew. But instead, he slowly turned and walked to the center of the caravan where the evening meal would be served. Alex forced himself to eat, though food was the last thing on his mind. He talked with his friends, laughed at their jokes, and acted as he was expected to act. It was all for show, and all Alex was really thinking about was what had happened and what might be about to happen. He was sure something important was looming, and Waylon knew, or at least guessed, what it was. Again, the thought of using his magic came to him. Just a little magic to find out what was happening. Just a little magic that nobody would notice. It might be important. The lives of his friends in the caravan might depend on his knowing what was going on. People could die if he wasn't ready to act.
"Do nothing," Alex Azogash repeated. "Listen to Waylon and do nothing."
Alex forced down the desire to use his magic. He tried to focus on his food, on the people around him, anything but the strange sense of fear he'd felt. Waylon said that he knew what it was. If anything dangerous was going to happen, Waylon would be ready to deal with it.
"Except Waylon has been distracted," Alex thought. "Could this be some new attempt by Jabez to find Waylon? Some magical attack on Waylon's mind so Jabez can find out where he is?"
Looking down the long table at Waylon, Alex couldn't see any sign of worry or fear. In fact, he couldn't see any sign of anything on Waylon's face. He didn't look distracted. He didn't look as worn or tired as he had before. Somehow, Waylon looked at peace, rested, relaxed, without a care in the world, and certainly no sign that danger was close. A new thought came to Alex's mind, one that he tried to push away but could not. What if Jabez had broken through Waylon's defenses? What if Jabez had been able to overcome Waylon? What if Jabez was somehow controlling Waylon?
"No,"
Alex Azogash said firmly. "Waylon is not so easily defeated, and you would know if Jabez was in control. You would know if Waylon had lost this battle."
"Yes,"
Alex whispered to the plate in front of him.
"Yes, I would know."
It seemed to Alex that the meal lasted for hours. Even after everyone had eaten all they could, nobody wanted to leave the tables. Eventually, people began moving away, gathering around the large campfires in groups, unwilling to leave the light and their companions for their beds. Alex stayed near the campfires for a short time as well, but soon slipped away, hoping to find Waylon and answers to his questions. It took Alex some time to find Waylon. At first, he wandered aimlessly around the camp, not really looking. When he realized what he was doing, Alex shook himself. Fear touched him again, but this time he ignored it. He focused on finding Waylon and moved off into the darkness. Strangely, the night seemed darker than it should have been. The moon had not come up yet, and though it had been a clear day, no stars could be seen. Alex paused for a moment, looking up at the night sky. He turned and looked back toward the campfires, noticing how distant they seemed to be. It felt like he was looking down a long tunnel, and the campfire at the end of it was so very small.
"That's not right,"
Alex said softly, rubbing his eyes.
No, it is not right,
Waylon answered, stepping out of the shadows.
It's not right at all, and I'm afraid there is nothing we can do about it.
What do you mean? Alex asked. You said you knew what this was, and now you say we can't do anything about it. Waylon, what's going on?
A test, Waylon answered with a sigh. An evil test that we must not fail, no matter the consequences.
I don't understand. Explain what is happening, Alex demanded.
This is the work of evil men, Waylon said. Of warlocks. Clearly they are working for Jabez and for the Brotherhood that he serves. They have filled this valley with their spells, with fear and doubt. Their magic is at work all around us. You see how the members of the caravan huddle together near the fires, afraid to leave one another, afraid to go alone into the night.
Yes, but... Alex started.
No,
Waylon cut him off.
You are thinking we can break the spells of fear, that we can drive off any warlocks that might be near or destroy them. Normally I would agree with you, Alex. Normally I would say yes, but tonight we must not. Tonight we must let things be and hope for the best.
What? Alex asked. Why? Why should we let evil reign tonight? Why shouldn't we break this magic with our own? Alex paused, then shook his head in understanding.
Oh. Yes,
Waylon said, nodding his head slowly.
You see the answer even as you speak. This evil is trying to draw us out, to find us. They want us to break their spells with our magic. They want us to protect those we travel with. But if we do, we will be revealed to them. And we cannot let that happen.
What do you think will happen? Alex asked, knowing that Waylon was right and they must do nothing.
I don't know,
Waylon answered.
Perhaps nothing except for a fearful night with little or no sleep for our friends. If we are lucky, that's the only price we'll pay.
But you don't believe that, Alex said.
No. I don't. I think we have more to fear than simple spells and darkness,
said Waylon.
These warlocks will have something more than just this planned. Something they think will draw me out, force me to show my magic.
Waylon's voice had grown soft and distant, as if he were studying something in the distance and not really thinking about what he was saying. Waylon?
Promise me, Alex.
Waylon said urgently.
Promise me that you will only use magic to save yourself. No other reason, only to save yourself if you must.
Waylon, I don't think...
Promise!
I promise. Only to save myself if I must.
No other reason,
Alex said reluctantly. Waylon relaxed visibly.
You must think all of this is only the foolishness of a worried old man.
I don't think you are foolish, Alex said, trying to sound reassuring.
Well, we'll soon find out,
Waylon said, his eyes searching the darkness around the camp.
As I said, maybe nothing will happen. Maybe it will just be a hard night for the caravan, and tomorrow we can move away from this evil place.
After watching the darkness with Waylon for a time, Alex walked back to the campfire. Most of the members of the caravan had gone to bed, but a few remained, sitting up late with the assigned watchers. He could see that they were troubled, but they did not know why. As the moon finally began to rise, Alex left the fire and went to find his bed. Something was coming. Something was going to happen. He was sure of that. But sitting by the fire and waiting for it was difficult. Looking into the worried faces of his friends tore at him, and knowing that he had promised not to use his magic to help made him angry. Alex had fallen into a half sleep
when the attack finally came. He could hear sudden shouts that were full of fear, but his body was slow to move. His mind was in some other place, but he didn't know where, and he didn't remember what he had been thinking. With great effort, Alex got to his feet. He shook his head to clear the darkness that had filled his mind. He looked around the camp, but what he saw only confused him. The watch fires that were kept burning all night had gone out. The only light came from the moon, and even that light seemed reluctant to fall on the camp. Alex could hear people running, shouting for fire and light, screaming in fear. He started forward, going in the direction where most of the yelling was coming from. He bumped into several people as he went, unable to see them in the darkness. It sounded like the entire camp was running around in the dark, afraid of something they could not see.
"Get the fires going again!" Alex heard Lycan yell. "Whatever you need to do, do it! We need light!
Attackers on the north side!"
an unknown voice called.
"Bows are useless in this darkness! We have wounded men on the north!
Can anyone get some light?"
Confusion was all around him. Shouting voices, screams of rage, cries for help. Alex spun around and around, unable to tell which direction was north, unable to help those who needed him. For an instant, he considered letting loose his magic, relighting the fires, and breaking the magic that was being used against the caravan. Then the instant passed, and he did nothing. His promise to Waylon held him, bound him to do nothing.
"It's what the enemy wants, you know," Alex's Ogash whispered. "They want you to use your magic to show your power, and then they will have you."
"Magic is not my only weapon," Alex answered. He turned slowly, listening to every sound, and then moved in the direction where he thought he heard fighting. He may not be able to use his magic, but he still had a sword, and he was more than willing to use that. The darkness seemed to lift as he moved, or at least Alex could see more than he had before. He dodged running men and women, scanned the camp for trouble, and finally found what he was looking for. The attackers were in front of him, only a few dozen yards away, but Alex froze in his tracks when he saw them. They were as tall as a man, but their bodies were covered in long, dark hair. They had sharp, bloody claws instead of hands, and their eyes glowed red in wolf-like heads. Alex had never seen creatures like this before. One of the foul creatures had knocked someone to his knees and was lifting its clawed hand to finish him off. Through the darkness, Alex could see the man on his knees was Lupo. Blood flowed from a deep cut on his cheek. Alex ran. Forgetting to draw the sword at his side, he slammed into the creature at full speed. It felt to Alex as if he'd hit a tree. He tumbled through the dirt for several yards, scrambled to his knees, and looked up into the face of the wolf creature he'd hit. The creature was faster than Alex. It was still on its feet. Alex didn't know if he'd knocked it down or not. A low growl came from the creature, and the back of its hand slammed into Alex's jaw. Alex felt himself lift off the ground, spin head over heels in the air, and slam back into the dirt. For a moment, Alex was dizzy. He was afraid he might pass out, which would be the worst thing that could happen. He had to save his friend. He tried to get up, but his mind wasn't sure which direction was up. He tried to see where his enemy was, but everything was blurred. He knew he was in trouble. The creature was too fast and too strong. He'd been a fool to run at it the way he had, and now
He was helpless. His foolishness might have just cost him his life and Lupo's.
No!
A harsh and powerful voice echoed in Alex's mind. Suddenly, Alex found himself standing upright, facing the wolf creature in front of him. His skin seemed to ripple under his clothes, hardening into armor. The darkness around him melted away, and he could see as clearly as if it were midday. He looked down at his hands, but they were not hands. Now they were the miniature claws of a dragon. Alex looked back to the enemy in front of him, prepared for battle. The wolf creature was frozen, its nose lifted as if sniffing the air. Suddenly, it let out a whine of both fear and pain. Its eyes dimmed and grew wide. Its muscles went stiff. Alex set his feet, expecting an attack. Then the creature dropped to all fours and ran away. Surprised, Alex looked around for more of the creatures, but they were all running away now. Somewhere in the distance, he thought he heard a low whistle, but he couldn't be sure. He watched as the last of the creatures disappeared into the night, and then he looked back to the claws that were where his hands should be. Slowly, the claws turned back into hands as he watched. He felt his skin soften, and though he didn't know what had happened to him, he knew that he was his human self again. He looked at Lupo, who was still kneeling on the ground. His eyes were glazed over, and he looked confused.
"Alex?"
Lupo asked.
"Where did you come from?"
"I came to help you," Alex said, hoping Lupo had not seen his strange transformation. "I'm glad you're safe. Here, let's get you back to your wagon." Alex slipped his arm around Lupo's shoulders and helped him stand up. As they turned toward the caravan wagons, firelight suddenly broke the darkness as dozens of torches spread out around the camp. Alex looked up at the sky. The moon and stars shone brightly now, and he could tell it was only a few hours before dawn. He let his gaze fall to the ground, and his heart went cold inside of him. There were bloody, wounded people all around. Not just men who had been trying to defend the caravan, but women and even a few children were lying on the ground. Alex did what he could to help Lupo and the others without using his magic or giving himself away. Fortunately, the caravan had several healers and vendors of herbs and potions traveling with them. It was long after sunrise before all the wounded were taken care of, but Alex was sure they were all in good hands. What troubled him most was the fact that 7 people were missing. There was no sign of them anywhere in the camp. Remembering how quickly the wolf-like creatures had attacked, Alex was sure the people had not simply vanished. A fire of rage began to burn inside Alex. He felt hate, raw and hard. He hated the creatures that had attacked the caravan. He hated the warlocks that had used their magic to spread fear and darkness. He hated the brotherhood that was the root of all this evil. But more than anything, he hated Jabez. Jabez, the would-be ruler of Jaro and powerful dark wizard of the Brotherhood. Alex walked away from the camp in the late morning. Lycan had decided they would remain where they were for another day, at least until the wounded, including Lupo, were a little stronger. Some of the caravan members looked doubtful when he said this, and it was clear they feared another attack. No one complained, however, and they went about the daily business as well as they could. For a time, Alex followed the tracks the wolf creatures had left, but he saw no sign of humans among them. He already knew in his heart that the 7 missing people were dead. He also knew that 3 or 4 more of the wounded would be joining them before the caravan started moving once more. Lost in his troubled thoughts,
he hardly noticed when Waylon walked up beside him.
"You are angry with me,"
Waylon said. It was not a question. "Yes," was Alex's only reply.
"You have a great deal of hate in you at the moment. You should let it go."
Alex didn't say anything. He refused to look at Waylon, letting his eyes follow the trail his enemies had left behind instead.
"Go ahead and say it,"
Waylon said after a long time.
"Tell me what you're thinking. Tell me how this is all my fault. Tell me how you could have saved your friends if I had not made you promise to hide your magic."
"I could have saved them all!"
Alex almost shouted in a tone that was angrier than he would have liked.
"I could have broken the spell of darkness and fear. I could have brought light and fire to the camp. I could have destroyed those creatures and their warlock masters before they could have hurt anyone."
"Yes, I imagine that you could have done all that and more. But then, where would you be?"
Waylon asked.
"My friends would be alive,"
Alex answered, looking at Waylon for the first time. He looked tired and pale, almost fragile. This wasn't the Waylon Vanken Alex knew. This wasn't the powerful wizard of story and song. This was a tired, sad old man who only went on because he could not and would not lay down and stop. This was a man who would never, ever give up.
"Your friends would be alive, yes, but you would be stuck with the caravan for who knows how long,"
Waylon said.
"Jabez would attack again. You know he would. He'd send more warlocks, more dark creatures, maybe an entire army, to destroy you."
"That doesn't matter now, does it?"
Alex replied, angry with Waylon for being right, and with himself for being foolish.
"It's a hard lesson to learn, and it never gets any easier, I'm afraid,"
Waylon almost whispered.
"What lesson can be learned from this madness?"
"That you can't save everyone,"
Waylon answered. He put his hand on Alex's arm.
"You saved Lupo. You should be happy about that."
Alex stood in silence for a long time. He knew that Waylon was right. He'd learned this lesson before, and he knew that he would have to learn it again. He couldn't save everyone, no matter how much he wanted to. And for some reason, that felt incredibly unfair to Alex.
"Perhaps," Waylon started after a long pause, "perhaps I should not have asked you to come with me on this adventure."
"Waylon, I don't—"
"Or perhaps I should have sent you alone,"
Waylon interrupted.
"I really don't know anymore. It seems as if all my choices, at least the ones where Jabez is involved, go astray."
"I'm glad to help, Waylon," Alex said as Waylon remained silent. "I'm just tired of all this sneaking around, hiding and pretending to be someone I'm not. It would be so much easier if we could just go to Conmar, deal with Jabez, and put an end to the Brotherhood."
"We will,"
Waylon replied.
"Soon we will reach the east coast of Midland, and then we will make our way to Westland. The time for sneaking and hiding is almost over."
"What if Jabez already knows where we are?" Alex asked.
"How could he know that?"
Waylon replied.
"Neither of us used magic, and we managed to drive the creatures away."
"I'm not so sure about that."
"What happened?"
"During the attack, I somehow changed into a dragon. Not my true dragon form, but something different, something in between. My skin turned to armor, and I had talons. I don't know how I did it or why it happened."
Waylon thought for a moment before speaking.
"I don't know how you did it either, but I know I would have felt it if you had used your wizard's magic. This must be something else. Did anyone see you change?"
"I don't think so. Lupo was nearby, but he was injured, and it was dark."
Waylon nodded.
It could be that because you are the only wizard who is also a dragon, the change may have happened because your dragon side was protecting you.
Perhaps that is the answer, and perhaps that is also why the creatures ran away.
Yes, if the beasts from last night caught scent of the dragon, it would explain why they ran. Almost all creatures fear dragons.
Alex looked to the west, a grim smile on his face. Then let us hope Jabez fears dragons as much as his evil creatures do.
Chapter 12. On to Westland. The caravan ended up staying in the valley for 3 days. There were no more attacks, but they did have to bury 5 members of the caravan who had been wounded by the wolf creatures. Lycan sent a large group with Alex to search for the missing people. They followed the wolf tracks for 10 or 12 miles, but then they simply vanished. Alex remembered hearing a whistle during the attack and suspected it came from one of the warlocks. If so, then perhaps that same warlock had opened a magical gateway for the creatures to escape through. He kept his thoughts to himself. If it had been a warlock, there wasn't anything anyone from the caravan could do about it. When the caravan finally began to move on the 4th day, spirits rose a little. Everyone was glad to be leaving the valley behind and the trouble they had experienced there. Waylon was clearly in better spirits, even though Alex could see he was still troubled. Alex felt sure it had something to do with Jabez. As they moved from the lonely north of Midland to the more populated west, the caravan stopped more frequently. Alex grew more irritated with each delay, but there was nothing to be done. Jabez had started his war, and he was already moving and trying to take control of all of Jaro. Alex felt a great need to hurry to stop Jabez before his armies grew too strong, but he had to wait. Alex knew that he and Waylon could not simply race off to Westland now that they were so close, but the delays and waiting were almost too much.
10 days or maybe 2 weeks, and we'll be in sight of the sea,
Waylon said one night. How long after that will we leave the caravan? Alex asked.
Not long. We'll wait until we reach Denmar. About 3 weeks, I would guess.
3 weeks, Alex said, annoyed.
It could be worse. I had planned to travel down the coast with the caravan for several more weeks. It is the wrong time of year to sail to Westland, at least from this far north. We'll need to go south before we can even think about finding a ship that will take us.
Then why leave the caravan?
Because, like you, I feel the need to hurry. Jabez is moving much sooner than I thought he would. He must think he will have the advantage because help from Midland cannot easily reach the north of Westland. We need to move faster, that much is clear. I think if we are lucky, we can find a boat to take us down the coast. If not, we will buy a small boat and sail it ourselves.
Jabez will have spies watching the ports.
I'm sure he will. Still, since it's the wrong time of year for easy sailing, they may not be as watchful as they should be.
Somehow I think Jabez's servants are always watchful.
You may be right,
Waylon chuckled.
Jabez would not be understanding if any of his servants made a mistake. I'm sure all of his servants have seen his anger, even if he didn't want them to.
Alex didn't ask any questions. He had read both Waylon's journals and Jabez's journals multiple times and felt he knew what kind of person Jabez was. Waylon may not have seen it when he was training his nephew, but he had written enough for Alex to understand. Jabez did not stand for other people making mistakes, and he was quick to point out those mistakes. He could never accept that he had made a mistake, so the blame always fell on someone else. As the days went by, Alex tried to spend as much time as he could with his friends in the caravan. He knew that he would miss his traveling companions and their simple ways. Life in the caravan had been a good experience for Alex,
and a lot of fun as well. One evening, as he sat by the fire, Lupo sat down beside him.
"Why so glum?"
Lupo asked, breaking into Alex's thoughts.
"What?"
Alex asked, turning to look at his friend.
"Just now you were staring into the distance with a vacant look on your face, and you sighed in a very sad way."
"Did I? I was just thinking about the adventures I've had traveling with the caravan." Lupo nodded.
"I still think you should come with me to visit the Oracle. If you thought traveling with the caravan was an adventure, just imagine what could be waiting for us in another land."
"Thank you for your offer, but my future is with my uncle, and I think our path will lead us a different way." Alex nodded to the scar on Lupo's cheek. "At least you have a good story to tell your friends. Lupo and the Battle of the Wolfmen." Lupo touched his cheek and laughed.
"Honestly, I don't remember much of that night. Just that when you appeared, the creatures ran away. I think you were the real hero of the battle."
Alex waved off the compliment. "A true friend is a true hero, and I count you as one of my truest friends." He slapped Lupo on the shoulder. "Now, tell me about Denmar. It's our next stop, isn't it?"
"Ah, Denmar," Lupo said. "A city with a bit of everything, where rare goods from the West are common and the mysteries of the world are revealed. They say that Denmar is one of the few places in Midland where the sea elves will land, though I've never seen one."
"I thought sea elves were just rumors and stories."
"Oh, no. There are far too many stories for the sea elves to not be real. I do know there is more magic in Denmar than there is in any other city of Midland. There is an ancient library there with magic books in it, or so they say. Many people travel to Denmar looking for magic of one kind or another, though few talk about it openly."
"I wonder how many of those looking for magic find it in Denmar."
"I couldn't guess. There are wise people in the city, or at least close to the city. They dress as monks and almost never speak."
"If they do not speak, how do you know they are wise?"
"Simple," Lupo answered with a smile. "They are wise enough to hold their own tongues."
"Ah, wisdom indeed," Alex laughed. Alex and Lupo went off to the evening meal together. Lupo was happy to share all the information he had about Denmar. Most of the stories seemed too fantastic to be real, and some were just too silly to be true. Lupo, however, was especially keen to tell the many stories he'd heard about the sea elves. His eyes lit up with excitement as he told the stories to Alex, and even as doubtful as he was, Alex enjoyed the stories. That night, Alex lay in his blankets and looked up at the stars, his mind filled with the stories Lupo had told him. Sea elves. Even the name seemed strange. Where did they live? Could they possibly live on the open sea all the time? They must visit land occasionally, or how else would they get wood to build or fix their ships? Alex soon slipped into dreams about the sea elves, happy dreams that he couldn't quite remember when he woke up. The days went by both too slow and too fast for Alex. The need to move forward was always in his mind, so each day felt like it was twice as long as it should be. At the same time, Alex was desperately trying to spend as much time with his friends as he could, trying to remember all the people and the fun that he'd had while traveling with the caravan. It was strange, having both too much and not enough time. It wasn't long before the Eastern Sea was in view, and the caravan turned due south. Waylon, planning for their departure, told Lycan he was expecting a shipment from Westland. If the shipment was waiting at Denmar, they would continue south with the caravan. But if it was delayed, he and Alex would have to wait in Denmar. Alex knew that there was no shipment. It was just a way for Waylon and himself to leave the caravan without questions. It was a good plan, but like the rest of his made-up life, the lie troubled Alex. The night before the caravan opened for business at Denmar, Alex and Lupo sat up late with some of the other young men. They looked at the city and talked about what their futures might hold.
Denmar,
Lupo said when he and Alex were finally alone. A city of hopes and dreams.
I wouldn't mind spending some time here.
Your father might mind if you try to get out of work, Alex replied.
I could talk to him. Maybe I could stay with you and your uncle until your shipment arrives.
Then we could catch up to the caravan, Lupo suggested. If the shipment hasn't already arrived, there's no way of knowing how long we'll have to wait, Alex replied.
He felt a sudden fear. What if Lupo really did want to stay with them?
Lycan might allow it if he believed their shipment would be coming soon. If Lupo remained, it would be almost impossible for Alex and Waylon to move on to Westland.
I know it's not possible, Lupo said after a pause. Father would never agree now that we're on the final leg of our journey.
Your home is south of here, isn't it? Alex said, hiding his relief.
Yes, it's 8, maybe 10 more weeks of traveling, Lupo answered. The caravan will grow smaller as we go south. By the time we reach home, there won't be much of it left.
Until next year, when you start out again.
And by then, I may be on my way to find an oracle. I must admit, the idea of what the oracle might say scares me a little.
They say that the only thing to fear from an oracle is finding out the truth about yourself.
Reason enough to fear, then, as finding out about myself might mean the end of all my hopes and dreams.
Alex didn't answer. He understood Lupo's fear, because he felt a little of it himself.
He was also going on a journey that would teach him about himself.
Only it wasn't a kindly oracle he was searching for, but a great evil. A darkness that he had to overcome, or else his own hopes and dreams would come to a sudden and violent end. For the first time, Alex thought about what failure might mean. He wasn't thinking about the cost to Jaro, its people, or all the other known lands if Jabez and the Brotherhood won. He thought only of himself. Failing meant that he would die, or perhaps something worse. He was risking everything to face an unknown power. Why should he risk his life? Why should he risk his own future and happiness for the nameless masses of Jaro? Why should he risk it all, even for Waylon?
A sudden chill ran through him, and Alex shook himself. The questions slipped away, and Alex felt a shadow of darkness move across him. The dark magic went almost unnoticed. Almost. Alex could see now that the doubts came from the west. Jabez was working some magic to spread doubt through all of this land, and his spells had taken Alex almost unaware. Alex looked at Lupo, and he could see the doubt clinging to him like a dark mist. Lupo seemed unaware of anything, even of Alex, as fear and doubt clouded his mind.
I will risk everything because of who I am and what I am, Alex said softly. Evil and darkness will not last forever. Doubts, real or imagined, will not stop me from doing what must be done.
Alex moved his hand slightly and reached out to touch Lupo's arm. Lupo started, as if suddenly shaken awake.
I must have dozed off for a moment, Lupo said, rubbing his eyes.
It's late, and tomorrow will be a long day, Alex said, getting to his feet.
Yes, it will be,
Lupo agreed.
And for now, at least, the future still holds hope.
The future always holds hope, Alex replied, and wished his friend a good night. The following morning was gray. Heavy, dark clouds filled the sky, and it looked as if a storm was brewing. The business of the caravan went on as normal, and Alex spent most of the day helping Waylon sell the goods they'd carried across Midland. Alex noticed immediately that Wayland's bargaining skills had changed. He had always sold their goods at a fair price and sometimes let people talk him down in price. But now things were different. His prices were lower than they had ever been, and he rarely put up a fuss when someone asked for a discount.
"It's just a game,"
Wayland said softly to Alex.
"We need to get rid of as much as possible before we leave for Westland. I don't fancy paying someone to store these things while we're away, especially since I don't think we'll be needing them again."
On the caravan's second day in Denmar, Waylon left Alex in charge of their things and went into the city alone. The story was that he was going to check on the expected shipment from Westland, but Alex knew he was looking for a ship to take them further down the coast. When he returned late that afternoon, Waylon was clearly troubled.
"The shipment hasn't arrived yet,"
Waylon said loudly, walking up to the tables where their goods were spread out. Once he was closer, though, he lowered his voice so only Alex could hear him.
"This isn't good. No ships have come in from Westland for weeks, which is odd considering the time of year."
"You've told me that delays are part of the business," Alex answered.
"We've got to get out of here,"
Waylon whispered to Alex as he pretended to check their goods.
"Trouble?"
"Jabez's men are in town, watching. At least one of them is a warlock." "Did he?" "No, he didn't recognize me. I didn't give him the chance. But it will be difficult to remain out of sight if we stay here much longer. At least the caravan only has one more day here. We'll leave after the caravan closes tomorrow night."
As much as Alex didn't like lying about needing to wait for the shipment from Westland, he was glad Waylon had already established the story. They would be able to leave the caravan quickly and quietly now, without any questions. After the caravan closed the next night, Waylon spoke with Lycan and arranged to trade the few remaining goods they had in exchange for a pair of sturdy horses. Lycan was happy to make the trade, but sad to see Waylon and Alex go. The next morning, Alex and Waylon prepared to head to Denmar to wait for their shipment to arrive. Alex was about to mount his horse when Lupo came running up to them.
"I thought I'd missed you,"
Lupo said, catching his breath. "You nearly have," Alex answered with a smile.
"I just wanted to wish you luck," Lupo said. "I will remember you, my friend, and hope to travel with you again."
"And I will remember you," Alex said. "May all your hopes come true when you visit the Oracle, my friend." Lupo smiled, bowed, and then returned to the caravan. Alex watched him go, and then climbed on his horse and followed Waylon toward the city. They didn't actually enter the city, however. They rode around it, as if heading for the southern gates. Once out of sight of the caravan, they turned due south. They rode for about 2 miles before Waylon reined his horse to a stop and climbed off. Alex stopped as well.
"What are you doing?" he asked.
"With Jabez's warlocks looking for us, we clearly can't go to Denmar. Besides, I doubt any new ships have arrived in the city in the past few days. We'll have to find a ship elsewhere."
"But we don't dare go to another city looking for a ship," Alex said.
"If Jabez has men watching in Denmar, he'll have men watching all the ports."
"Yes, I'm sure he will. In fact, he'll probably have more men in the cities further south, as we can't sail west until we first move a good deal south. Still, I think we might find a small boat in one of the fishing villages along the coast."
"Small boats aren't made for voyages on the open sea."
"We'll be fine. It's not uncommon for fishermen to make the journey between Midland and Westland when the weather is fair."
Alex looked up at the sky. "From the look of the clouds, I wouldn't count on fair weather."
"We'll be fine,"
Waylon repeated. Alex climbed off his horse. "And what about the horses? We can't just leave them here." Waylon smiled.
"Don't worry. I've been around long enough to learn a few tricks that don't even need magic to work.
The horses will find their way back to Denmar once we have gone.
Alex realized Waylon had thought of everything, or so it seemed. Waylon spoke to the horses in a strange language that Alex didn't understand, and then Waylon and Alex turned to the south. They made good time and were soon walking south along the beach.
"We'll stick to the shore," said Waylon. "Less chance of meeting anyone than if we were on the road. Sooner or later we'll come to a village where we might find a boat."
Alex nodded his agreement. While they walked, Alex would look back to the north often, just to make sure they weren't being followed. He couldn't help noticing the dark clouds that hung in the sky, and he worried about the storm he knew was coming. On the morning of their third day on the coast, the storm arrived. At first it was only a light rain and a little wind, but by midday it had become something much worse. The rain fell hard and fast, and the wind stirred the sea into a frenzy. It was hard to see very far ahead because of the rain, but that wasn't their biggest problem. The beach they were on had grown narrow, and the landward side was blocked by high cliffs. Waves came crashing onto the narrow strip of land, bowling Alex and Waylon over as they tried to walk, and then trying to drag them back into the sea before the next wave arrived.
"We need to get off this beach," Alex yelled over the wind. "If we stay here, we'll be battered to death against the cliff wall or dragged out to sea with the waves. Maybe both." "We'll be lucky not to drown first,"
Waylon shouted back.
"I can see a rocky point, maybe half a mile ahead. If we can get there, we'll see what our options are."
They pressed on, helping each other to stand when the waves hit and pulling each other back to the land when the waves tried to drag them into the sea. It was hard work, and it felt like hours had passed before they even got close to the rocky point Waylon had seen. It was too high to climb, and the rock was too broken to get a good hold. A large mound of broken rocks had fallen from the cliff, forming a barrier that ran into the sea. Alex and Waylon looked at each other, neither of them willing to say what they both knew had to be done. After resting for a few minutes, they went forward carefully, trying to stay as close to the rocks and as far from the sea as possible. It was an impossible task with the wind-tossed waves crashing into them. They would have to wade and hope that the water wasn't too deep and the waves not too large. Their going was slow. The rocks were slippery and uneven, but the waves were not as bad as Alex had feared. When they reached a place where they could see the beach beyond the rocky point, the sight gave Alex hope. The cliffs were not so high here, and there was a wide stretch of open beach above the waves. The thought that they would soon be out of the waves, even if heavy rain continued to fall, was a relief. Alex managed a tired smile as he pressed forward, and then he heard a roar from behind him. He looked back over his shoulder. What Alex saw confused him at first. It looked as if the sea had tilted sideways, or that the ground under his feet was strangely sloped. Understanding came quickly, and Alex turned to look at Waylon. The old wizard was too far ahead of him. Alex wouldn't be able to grab him and help him through the massive wave that was coming. Alex sucked in his breath, hoping that he could yell loud enough for Waylon to hear him over the wind. He tried to shout, but the wave crashed down on him before